Hi, my name's Eamon Flanagan. Welcome to the Near Post. We're talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. With me in the studio tonight, Con Stamatakos. How are you, Con?
I'm very good, Eamon. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Fantastic to have you on the show, Con. Now, coming up in this half hour, we've got we're going to talk, of course, about the Socceroos and the recent squad announced by Pim Verbeek, and we've got a little interview with Pim Verbeek. We're also going to talk about the A-League and what's happening there, and, of course, we'll have a quick mention of the W League Grand Final review. We've got all the opinions and news, and you can catch the... if you want to contact us, contact me on the email flanagan.eamon@gmail.com. And the podcast is always available, www.nearpost.blogspot.com. And, of course, on iTunes and on halftimeheroes.com.au. Don't forget the AU there. And for all your the best in independent football writers, go to the halftimeheroes.com.au and you'll get an alternative view and a great view from all the writers across Australia on Australian football and more. The show, we dedicate the show every week on the Near Post, as listeners will be aware, and this week's no different. We've got a double dedication this week. First of all, we do come from the studios of Canberra, even though we go across the Australian Community Radio Network. So this week we have a slightly Canberra theme. First of all, commiserations, I suppose, and best wishes to Kofi Dunning, the young Sydney FC player who's torn his ACL and will be out for 6 to maybe 9 months. So that's a bad news. So we dedicate the show to Kofi, who's been on the Near Post with us, and we wish you all the best, Kofi. Hope you get well.
Get better, Kofi.
Yep. And also another Canberran, 28 years of age. You're never too old to make it to the Socceroos. Matthew Kemp, the Canberran, who is... down with Melbourne Victory, has been named in the Socceroos squad to face Q8 in January. So well done to Kempy. Now, we've got a quiz question to keep Con on his toes. Con, yes. Name the top five all-time scorers in the A-League. The top all-time scorers, five top all-time scorers in the A-League. Con, fire away, mate.
Archie Thompson,
straight out of the blocks. Yeah, Archie has scored. How many has he scored? He's scored about 45 in 90-odd games.
Yeah. All right, Danny Allsopp.
Danny Allsopp comes in at number three.
So Allsopp. Okay. Sasha Petrovsky.
Sasha Petrovsky, good one. He comes in with 30 goals from 100 games. He's in at number five.
Dun, dun, dun. John Aloisi.
John Aloisi comes in with about 9 goals and not many for Sydney, but there you go.
No, he's had a lot of shots, though.
So has Archie. Archie had 9. We reckon Archie needs 10 shots a game or 10 headers a game to get one goal. So if he's got 100 goals, then that's 10,000.
He'd also be leading the offsides as well, Archie Thompson.
Yeah, well, he had 9 shots on the weekend, which is why he didn't score, because he needed one more. And we were counting.
Who else,
so you've got 2 more to go.
In the A-League, so... Sasha Petrovsky.
We've had...
gone blank the other two, Eamon.
Yeah, but you know, the Gold Coast,
Shane Smelt.
Shane Smelt coming in second place with not as many goals as Archie, but a heck of a lot less games. And that leaves one player, Con. Just one. Sasha Petrovsky, of course, an old Sydney FC. And I know you're a big fan of Sydney FC. Bit of a clue in there for you, Connie.
Sydney FC.
Yeah, well, they don't have many goal scorers. So it shouldn't be too hard. It's not John Aloisi. It's not Steve Corica.
I'm blank.
You are blank.
Seriously.
And that's what's so amazing. Alex Brosk is the equal fifth top scorer with 30 goals. Can you believe that?
He probably got him in the first season with Queensland Roar.
Yeah, because he never got them with you at Sydney. Okay, well... there you go. So there's the five top scorers in the A-League. Now, we've got a bit of news, as usual, as always, on the show. And here we go. Pim says it's the perfect time to play Q8, or to play in Q8. He says the conditions in Q8 will be cooler than in Australia, so that'll be good for the boys. No Josh Kennedy for the Socceroos. He's too tired, says Pim. Nicky Carl is in the squad. Rejoice, Australia. Any thoughts there, Connie?
He won't play him.
He won't play him. He's just bringing Nicky for the ride. Okay, we'll talk.
He won't play him. Pim doesn't care about entertainment or pleasing people. It's about the system, grinding away. I reckon we'll have Mila Jedinak, Jason Kalina.
Okay, we'll talk Socceroos in a minute, a little bit later. But is playing in the A-League better than playing in Asia? I just asked the Griffiths brothers, Danny Allsopp, Jade North, Mark Milligan and co. All of them have missed out yet again on a Socceroos gig. With this being the World Cup year, you'd be desperate to get any sort of game with the Socceroos or into a squad. Not one Asian player has been called in. Carl Valeri scores for Grosseto, also misses out on a Socceroos gig. Harry Kewell scores for Galatasaray. Yes, it's not a rerun. He does it every week, it seems. Kofi Dunning, as we mentioned, is cropped for the season with an ACL injury. Scott McDonald has been chased by Middlesbrough. With his pace, it shouldn't be too hard for his old boss, Gordon Strachan, to catch him in the January sales. What do you think, Con? A good move for Scott McDonald if you went to Middlesbrough? You're talking to a Celtic fan here, mate. Be careful.
I think if Scott McDonald leaves to Middlesbrough, that'll be the end of Scott McDonald in terms of having a high... well, most people know Celtic, yeah?
Yep.
But when you're playing for Middlesbrough, they're in the Championship...
you're gone.
Like, he could stay in the Championship and no one will ever hear of him again. That's the problem with going to Middlesbrough. They might go into the Premier League, but I would. If I was Scott, I'd stay where you are, mate. You're scoring goals.
Yeah.
What would you want to play in a Championship for when you can win 4-0 every week?
That's right. But as a Celtic fan, I'd be happy if you went to Middlesbrough. David Carney is out for 3 months with a shoulder injury, which, as one of our few left-sided defenders, he also joined Scott Chipperfield, who's also on the long-term injury list. Bit of a worry there, maybe, for South Africa. The Central Coast Mariners announced their massive investment into club training, accommodation, specialist and office facilities. Looking like a good move for the A-League, Con.
They've been talking about this since the first season.
They finally got around. It's all
yeah,
sound
finally
sealed.
Got around to it. But looks that's excellent.
Yep.
Like I think having our own training pitches after 5 seasons is nothing to get really excited about. But yeah, at least they're doing something about it.
No, I'm excited, Con. I mean, no one else has got them. So yeah, I'm sorry, mate. I'm going to disagree with that. I'm pretty excited because, as you say,
I just think that after five seasons, it should have been done earlier.
Well, probably. Yeah, you probably.
I mean,
it's
good to have it done now, but even Sydney's only had their own training grounds for the last 2 seasons. So, I don't know, it's good. It's slowly we're getting there, but
yep.
I would have liked to have been done earlier.
The Daily Telegraph announced last week that there could be a new deal for football in 2010 or 11, cancelling the current 7-year deal with Fox, and Fox providing $300 million. It's rumoured to be providing $300 million over 5 years, with approximately $3 million going to each A-League club. No official announcement, but sounds pretty good.
Ka-ching.
Yeah, ka-ching. All righty, Connie. And also good news for teams like clubs like Canberra, maybe. You know, if we could get our hands on $3 million down in this fair city, Con, we'd actually be able to make a profit. Never mind have a team.
And I would use that money to bring in marquee players and advertise. That's what I would spend the money on.
Okay, so the Daily Telegraph also, who have not always been renowned for supporting football in this country, particularly of late, also used to run a football fever section some years ago and then dropped it because they said they didn't have enough advertising space. Apparently Football Fever 4-page pullout of football is back in the Telegraph every Tuesday, so must be a World Cup coming.
Really?
Yeah, really. There you go, get out and bike.
On the bandwagon while you can, Eamon.
Yep, we're all aboard, mate. Toot toot. Mark Milligan moves from China to Japan. He joins Eddie Bosner's old club, who got relegated, Jeff United, and Eddie Bosner moves to Chiba in the J League First Division. So, good move for Mark Milligan down to Second Division J League. Con, what do you think?
No.
No.
I don't understand. Mark Milligan must have the worst player agent in the history of Australian football.
Well, I reckon he must have the same one as Eddie Bosner, given that they're moving to and from similar clubs.
At least Eddie Bosner's in the First Division. I don't understand. Second Division. Mark Milligan was.
He has to be good enough.
He's pumped to go to places like Arsenal and German clubs, and now he's playing in Second Division Japan.
He has to be good enough to play in the J League, doesn't he?
Well,
you know,
technically,
he's one of the better younger players, don't you think?
I do. That's why I'm very surprised he's chosen the Second Division of Japan.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, there were a lot of big things being talked about Mark Milligan, but it just hasn't happened for him.
Right.
Spent almost half a year not playing as well, so yeah, we'll see. It could be a good move,
but it's not. You're right, Con, it's not. Absolutely on the money.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
We're going to talk Socceroos. I caught up with Pim Verbeek earlier today, and this is what Kim, at the teleconference, and this is what Pim had to say.
Well, he has to fight for his position on the left side, but as you all know, we don't have so many left-footed players and left fullbacks in Australia. He has the talent, he has the possibilities, and he has to be better. Yeah, but he's doing very well. And if you're good enough, then you're old enough. So I pick him up. He's left-footed. playing on the wings, he is playing every week, he is doing well, he has special qualities. But anyway, Tommy, it's a good reward for him, and again, if he shows us that he is the best one for the left side against Kuwait, he will be playing. And if not, then still it's a great experience for him to be in the team. And it's good for him and good for us, if you have a player like that with those qualities.
Would Eugene Galekovic, would he be the number one goalkeeper?
Yeah, if he shows that he's better than Danny, then he will be. I have seen more good goalkeepers. They always have good goalkeepers here in the A-League. But okay, you can't take two for the number one spot and one extra to give him experience. So that's the decision at the moment.
You touched on it a little bit there, Pim, that Perth Glory haven't been going so well. Is that one of the reasons behind the omission of Chris Coyne?
No, Chris didn't play for so many weeks. I spoke with him yesterday evening. I spoke with him last week about his injury. He played the 90 minutes last week, but Chris is not ready, not on his best at the moment. He trained two times in the last 3 weeks. I think the only reason why he really played was because he wants to support the team in a very big game against Gold Coast, but he was not physically not ready to play that game.
Pim, Luke Wiltshire is obviously on a break with his Russian club, but no Asian players have been included. Mark Milligan, Jade North. Is there any reason for that?
Yeah. They didn't play for such a long time. Especially Jade North didn't play at all. I can't remember he played. And for Mark Milligan, that's more or less the same story. His league finished already half of November. So I have no idea how ready and how fit he is. And with Lucky Wiltshire, that's okay. He will be there.
Finn, there's about 16 or so changes from the last side that you wait. Do you regret the team you put out last time?
I have so many regrets. Every morning when I wake up, I think, shit, I should have done this different. Now, that's 10 months ago. And you see in football, 10 months, that can make a big, big difference. So 10 months ago, we picked up the best possible selection, and that's what we did. Now, I think the Indonesia game away was good, difficult but good. We had a good result over there. Kuwait was a different team, better team, and better than us in that game.
Is this for you, Pim? Is this the big chance for Alex Brosk, Nick Carl, Archie Thompson, three pretty experienced players you've seen a bit of, particularly Carl and Thompson, to really impress you with a view to South Africa? Those three.
No, I think I'm here 2 years. I know the qualities of Alex and, of course, from Archie. They're all different type of players. You cannot compare players. Types, three different qualities. And maybe they can play together. That's what we're going to find out in the upcoming training camp in Dubai.
So, Con, that was Pim Verbeek talking about the Socceroos squad against Kuwait. Now, it's a crucial game, but what are your thoughts on first impressions on the squad?
My first impressions were that I was very happy that there were a lot of overseas players, and in Sydney where we had to rely solely on local players, I'm very happy that there's a mixture, and I'm very happy with the A-League players like Tommy Orr, Alex Brosk, I think Simon Colosimo is a good inclusion, and I'm very happy to see Nikita Rukovica.
Yep.
Dario Vidicic. Also, Luke Wiltshire is going to give us a lot of experience, and it'll be interesting to see what side he puts out. Whether there's some A-League players in there, but I reckon there would be a majority of the overseas-based guys there with a few A-League players. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
Well, I've picked
the C team.
I've picked the team. Well, I think this might be the B team rather than the C team. Josh Kennedy isn't making the trip because he's too tired, and no boys from Asia. But I'm going to go with Eugene Galekovic in goal, and then Luke Wiltshire, Craig Moore, Simon Colosimo, and maybe Shane Lowry or even Matthew Kemper left back. Dario Vidicic, Mile Jedinak, Jason Kalina, and maybe Nicky Cole or Tommy Orr on the left side, and up front Archie and Jitty. Now, he probably won't play 4-4-2, but that's just how I've
lined it. 4-4-2 with all those strikers and attacking players, you're dreaming, Eamon.
Yeah, okay. So probably Archie and Jitte won't both play in the same team.
4-2-3-1, my friend.
Okay, 4-2-3-1. Well, then I've got my back four sorted. Jedinak and Kalina is the four in the two. And then if you want three, you could probably put Nicky and Vidicic and maybe Tommy Orr, do you think?
I'd love to have Tommy Orr there. I wouldn't mind having Brosk and in my fantasy team, I wouldn't mind having Brosk and Rukovica up front. I wouldn't mind having Orr on the left. And having Wilkshire and Jedinak in the middle.
I think Rukavica and Orr could be a little bit raw for...
But he wouldn't go that way. That's
no.
me.
And for international football, I think to bring those two in, I don't know whether they've got the nous to play both of them in a game like this, but...
away from home, he's gonna do his... Pim will go 4-2-3-1. He'll make sure that...
Who will be a striker, Con? I mean, Archie or Bruce Jute, Rukavic? I mean, if he's going to have one striker, who would you have?
I don't know. I reckon he might go for Archie. Archie, out of the strikers we've got, has been playing the most.
Yeah.
Rukavica's and Jute's been coming off the bench for their respective clubs. So, I don't know. I really think... or you could even chuck up Alex Frosk up front, you know. But he's been playing... he's been playing a left midfield and left winger, Alex Frosk, for Sydney FC this year. With sometimes, most when he's been playing with Bridge, also striker. So, I don't know.
He's not really the main man, is he? Like, I mean,
he would probably be playing, you know, out left somewhere, Frosk, if he was playing. But, I have got a feeling that Thompson would... Archie will be playing up front.
And you don't think Nicky Cole, despite Jesse Fink's best efforts, will get to play?
If Nicky Cole can't get make a first team with A-League players in there, then he's going to be in trouble. But hopefully he plays him. Again, he hasn't been getting much game time. If you look at all the Aussies Abroad reports that come out, it's always unused sub or last 5 minutes, so... Yeah, I'd love to see him play. Like, he's got out of those players, he's got a lot of experience compared to some of the others.
That's true, and we need to win that game. I think with Kuwait playing Oman in the last week, if we win against Kuwait, then we're through.
Yeah,
so
pretty much.
So it'd be good to see that. And obviously, Pim, I did ask Pim, you know, did he have any regrets about his team that he picked for the camera game against Kuwait, and he said he had no regrets. So.
Well, the first interview I ever did as a football writer was I asked him that question back in April. I said, "Are you going to be using European players?" And he said, "Yes." So, we'll see what happens, Eamon. It's always interesting to see with these mixed squads what the lineup will be come game time. Anyway.
Okay, now the W League finished on the weekend, Con, and on the grand final, Sydney versus Brisbane. Did you get a chance to see that game?
Yes, I did.
What were your thoughts on that game?
I thought it was an excellent game, very entertaining. That spell where Sydney scored those three goals was very quality football, I thought, by the Sydney FC girls.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the game Canberra versus Sydney the week before, and Sydney totally outclassed, Canberra with only 10 players. But when they started the game against Brisbane, it was like a different team. Brisbane came out, controlled the first game, and Lana Hart scored a tremendous goal.
That was a very nice goal.
Yeah, and I couldn't see, I was wondering where Sydney were going to get back into it. But as you say, they went on the rampage in the second half.
Well, they just took advantage of their opportunities. Sarah Walsh, very fast. Breakaway goal, very good finish.
Beautiful
and,
finish.
And the Danish girl, Rydell, that was a very good finish as well.
Yeah, Julia Rydell scoring there in front of her mum, apparently, who flew in from Denmark. And
there was a piece of quality action as well when, I can't remember the substitute's name, but she did this little flick.
Oh, yeah.
That was just sublime, I thought.
Yeah, no, it was. It was fantastic, wasn't it? I can't remember. Caccini, I think.
She had a...
Yeah, it's great. So, and I think having watched a fair bit of the Women's League now over the last couple of years, I thought the game, the standard of football by the players, was at the highest level that we've seen. You know, I think the standard's gradually beginning to rise. Maybe that's because of the imports, I don't know. But the Sydney imports, particularly in the centre midfield, were good. But yeah, I thought it was a good game.
Yeah, I think the W League needs more games. What do they just play each other just once and that's it?
Sometimes they play each other twice. It depends on the draw. They play 10 games. There's eight teams in the league, but they haven't worked out. The FFA haven't worked out that if you play each other twice, it actually comes to 14 games.
Yeah.
They just do 10. They think that's. I guess it's all about money. But an interesting time coming up, Con, for the women's game next year. They've got the Asian Cup ahead of them, and they must get into the top two to get to the World Cup. And obviously, with the Matildas, you know, doing so well last time, and the women's game just starting to grow, if they don't get into the World Cup, it will really knock back, I think, more so than the men's game, I think it will really knock the women's game back. So in their group, they've got China and South Korea, two powerhouses of Asian football, and they have to come out of that group in a top two position. So with a heap of changes from the women's squad from the last World Cup, yeah, we're interested to see what squad Tom Samani picks.
Do you think the young players are coming through? Do you think players like Elise Perry, Emily Van Egmond can step up?
I don't know. I mean, I think possibly Elise Perry of Van Egmond, I think, is way, way too off the pace. I think it'll still come down to some of the old, so-called older players, Colette McCullum, Lisa Devanna, Katie Gill, but have we got Sarah Walsh? But have the new players come through? I think Lauren Colthorpe, Claire Polkinghorne, all that, you know, there's still quite a few players around who played some or part of the last World Cup who will get a gig. But, you know, you'd like to see one or two more. Lena Karmis maybe get a...
Yeah, I'd for sure, Lena Karmis, yeah.
You know, but what do you do? You've got Lisa Devanna, you've got Katie Gill, you've got Sarah Walsh, you know, how many more forwards can you have? So I don't know, it's going to be interesting. I think the goalkeeper position, I think that'll go to the Queensland goalkeeper, although she's pretty young. I think Melissa Barbieri and Lydia Williams will be knocked out by Courtney Butel. Anyway, Tom Samani will announce his squad probably in the next few days, and they're playing in who do they play? They play Thailand in January, and then they play North Korea in February in a build up to the Asian Cup qualifier. So they haven't had many games. They haven't been in camp as a Matildas at all, which is unlike them, because in the past that's been the whole focus of the program. But the W League has kind of taken that time away. So it's going to be a big test, and see how we go. But we try to see who comes through in the new squad.
Well, hopefully they can qualify for that Asian Cup. So it's I've been watching the results of the younger girls, and they've had a lot of tough games, and they've failed to qualify for World Cups and that. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, Eamon.
Cheers. Now we're going to talk A-League, Connie. On the weekend, of course, your favourite team, Sydney FC 0, Melbourne Victory 0 in Melbourne in front of 27,000. What were your thoughts on that game, Con?
I was very frustrated watching that game, Eamon. I thought Sydney failed to capitalise on their chances. Melbourne, you could say we're unlucky. Archie Thompson hit the post, or hit the crossbar, actually. But I was very frustrated. Alex Brosk had a chance to open the scoring, but shot it straight at the keeper. Steve Corica in the second half should have hit the shot first time instead of trying to take another touch. Alex Brosk with a header as well. I was very frustrated. The finishing didn't match the rest of the play in midfield. I was very frustrated, Eamon. What did you think?
Well, I suppose as a neutral, I thought Melbourne were the better side. I thought, we were giving Archie Thompson a bit of stick in my lounge room that he needs 10 chances. Well, he did get 9 chances, and I think that says perhaps the way the game kind of went. But I thought Melbourne played quite well, but they didn't score. And if you don't score, you don't win, do you? And so Sydney, I think, will be happy that they, you know, I mean, Archie got 9 chances. They weren't all clear-cut chances, but they...
I think Archie looks angry enough when he misses. It looks to me like it's sort of, he misses a chance and, you know, he thinks to himself, maybe I'll get another few, but I don't know.
Well, he will, won't he? But he won't.
Alex struggles to be more angry when they miss.
He won't get...
I get angry.
He won't get that many chances at Socceroos level, but, he, you know, in the A-League, obviously, I guess he feels that he can. But I think Melbourne might have missed a chance there, because really, if they'd have gone 6 points clear, you'd say the league was sewn up. So I think perhaps it was a victory for Sydney, even though, you know, in a sense it was a draw, because it now keeps Sydney pretty close, and they've got two games coming up in quick succession to put some more pressure on Melbourne. Just before we go on to the games this weekend, Con, the other scores on the weekend, Adelaide and Wellington drew 1-1. Central Coast Mariners lost to Brisbane Roar 3-2, despite Craig Moore scaring the pants off the German forwards. Did you like that?
What was that? That was a beautiful pass to... who did he give that ball to? Matt Simon?
Nicky Travis.
Travis. That was a beautiful playoff, wasn't it?
Apparently it's been shown again and again on German television.
Really?
And Serbian and Ghanaian, saying this is what we're up against.
Maybe you should have stayed retired, Craig Moore.
Yeah, maybe. I'm with you. Newcastle Jets won again, and so they beat the North Queensland Fury 3-2, although I'm not completely convinced by the Jets, despite Branko talking them up. And the Gold Coast overcame... I don't know whether that's the right word, really, but they beat Perth 2-0. You know.
Wake me up, please.
What are Perth on about, eh?
Oh, it's very... I don't mean to steal this saying, but it was granite, Eamon.
It was.
Absolute granite that... I don't understand. I've got all these Socceroos back. They've got some good players, but they just... If you're a Perth fan, I feel very sorry for you. Even though they're doing much better than previous seasons, it's just...
Well, they're seventh in the table now. They're only 2 points off the bottom, so it won't take much to turn them into a similar side to...
And they're going to probably lose their three Socceroos too, so...
Yeah, well, that's what they're talking about. So, my question is, who would sign them? I mean, it's all very well saying, oh, they're going to lose them, but, somebody actually has to sign them.
It's very easy to say, we're going to go for loan, we're going to play, but who's going to sign these players?
Now, let's have a think about this, Connie, because Chris Coyne came from Colchester. So who do you reckon is going to sign him? Wycombe Wanderers?
Well, you never know. Like, I'm sure if he's played in England long enough, he'll probably have enough contacts to find a club in that division.
He didn't always play in Colchester. That was one of the reasons he came back. He was often on the bench.
Yeah, he was. So who knows?
Okay, like, Jacob Burns, where is he going to go? He finished his days in Poland.
Romania or Transylvania or something?
You think Man United or Barcelona will give him a loan deal? No.
Barcelona B?
Yes, B? You're talking maybe Z.
But
what about Milo Stojoski? Never got a game in Derby County.
I don't mind Milo.
He's a good Socceroo.
He plays much better for the Socceroos. But maybe a lot of these players could end up playing for Melbourne Victory and Adelaide United. Like.
Yeah, but would they want them?
And what's the rules governing that? Does the FFA allow?
Now, we pass on technical questions. This is the near post, mate. Okay, but yeah, good point. So this weekend we've got, we've got Sydney, of course, versus Central Coast tomorrow night on Wednesday.
I'll be going to that.
Good on you, Connie. And then Gold Coast versus Brisbane, Perth versus Newcastle, Sydney versus Adelaide on Sunday, North Queensland, Melbourne, and then Central Coast, Wellington on New Year's Eve. So more football than you can ever hope for, Con.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Beautiful. So so you'll be hoping for 6 points for Sydney from the two games?
It'll be tough.
You're a true Sydney fan, mate. You know you can't possibly get six points.
I'm very critical about Sydney, Eamon. I'm not a I don't close my eyes and think of the greatest side ever. But I think Central Coast are going to be tough. I think we can beat them though. Some of the strikes by the Mariners.
Yeah.
It's Brisbane. Woeful. Matt Simon,
I mean, Pim Verbeek played him in Canberra against Q8, and he hasn't even picked him in this squad. So, thanks, Pim, as a Canberran. Thanks very much, mate. We had to watch that.
The A-League strikers can shoot at goal and shoot away from goal with precision, but getting into the goal, that's the problem.
Yeah, that is a problem. But still, okay, well, Con, thanks very much for joining us.
I think we'll certainly have those 6 points.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the Near Post, Connie. And
no worries,
wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if you are going to the Near Post, get there
first.
Yeah, Con, you know it. That's good,
yeah,
mate.
I know it.
Good on you.
I was there first.